Contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
And welcome to another edition of Technology Bites on whatever method that you're listening with. That's what's working right now.
Hooray for intros. Yay.
I listen using the rhythm method.
Yikes. All right, welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groove House.
I can't believe this went as smoothly as it did. Flicted walked in with, like, I was putting the CD into the CD player because he wasn't here to put the CD in. And he's got in here, got Pete on the air. And is that what it takes? Like, you leaving a Dynamo game before it's over to get here just in the nick of time?
I have a lot of adrenaline right now, so.
Wow, so it's
a playoff game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the second playoff game.
If you'd have said something, we'd have covered for you. You could have taken gone and watched your game. It's not like you haven't left us in a lurch before.
Just so you've got a photo shoot.
Yeah, that's the code. I have to photograph something.
Oh, it's a photo shoot.
All right, well, we're glad you tuned in. And again, it's not fundraiser, so don't touch that dial.
I may try to steal some bandwidth later to watch the end of the game.
That's okay.
After the news.
All right. And that's it.
You can, you know, I have been keeping up with sporting events using Google Now, which is pretty.
Does it show you video, live
video?
No, it's
not show, but, you know, it's soccer, man. It's all the same thing. Kick, kick, run, run.
Kick, 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 run, run.
It's kind of like.
Yeah, I can tweet that to you, Flicted. You know, guy running. Another guy kicked the ball.
Guy kicking.
Now,
he passes the ball. He passes the ball. Oh, he's holding. Hold, passes. Yes. Well, so the game is underway, I take it.
Yeah, it's halftime.
And
I had to leave a few minutes.
Nil.
It's 1-1.
1-1.
Yeah, New York scored in the 22nd minute, and they looked pretty aggressive. And then 35th minute, Brad Davis stole a bad pass right in front of their goal and kicked it in. So it's 1-1. And the last game was here a few days ago and ended 2-2. So it's all tied up. The last 45 minutes, whoever scores wins and moves on.
All right. Well, I know it's edge of your seat kind of thing going on there. So, all right. So tune in here Wednesday night and online at geekradio.com. You can find our website hanging out there on the interwebs, just sitting there doing stuff. We had a great geek gathering last week.
It was supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yes. That's what exactly yeah, what it was.
Something quite atrocious, right?
Because Dwight was dressed as Julie Andrews and swirling around in the parking lot
in the rain.
The geeks are alive.
We had this surprise rainstorm that
no one could have predicted.
No one could have predicted. There was no forecast of rain, right? And
your phone is buzzing.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Well, great story.
There was no forecast of rain. Everybody's sitting around, and suddenly these...
No one took precaution. Yeah.
Suddenly these notifications go off, and it's this app called Dark Sky that alerts you when there is rain about to hit. And I said, what is that? And people pulled out their phones. There was a couple people sitting by me and said, oh, yeah, it's Dark Sky. Oh, you have it too? And it all of a sudden started to rain. And it's very cool. It alerts you when it's going to rain, and then it tells you how long it will rain for right where you are. It's a very cool app, so I bought it right then and there.
$5, right?
$3.99.
Yeah.
It was great. There's another interesting app. I haven't bought this, but I want to. It was introduced today called Knock. And you use it to – you buy the app for your iPhone. You have a small free app you put on your Mac, and you knock two times on the back of your phone, and it unlocks your Mac. It's called Knock. So I haven't gotten it yet, but a couple of my friends did at work, and they said, ooh, this is good.
So instead of, like, just typing your password fumble in your pocket or look around the room, see where you left your phone, and go knock. How close does the phone have to be to the Mac?
It's Bluetooth.
Bluetooth.
Right. So it and you don't have to have the thing running. You just launch it, and you can minimize it, and it will run in the background and probably swallow your battery. But you just do that. So I keep my phone next to my computer all the time, and that would be very useful. It'd be very useful, so I might do that.
Of course, every time you use it, you're going to have to sing that song about knock three times on the ceiling. For those of you who are old enough to remember it, twice on the pipe,
twice on the iPhone. So let me into my Mac. All right, so that's great. That's awesome. Weather apps and Knock. I'm not going to get either one of them.
All I have is KitKat.
Well, yeah, you don't like to buy apps, right? You don't like to actually
I'm not a big
money.
App buyer. Yeah. No.
So there's this...
I'm not going... It helps because I'm not totally entrenched in the ecosystem either.
Yeah. But. So there's this trick you can do to see what all of your apps are on your phone and all in one place. And if you have an iOS 7, you pull down on the screen and you get your little search, spotlight search, and you put in a period and you do search and it shows you all of your apps. And so you could, which I have too many apps.
Are they alphabetical or by last year?
I can't quite tell what it's not alphabetical, but, and then it will also, if you keep going.
Can you launch them from there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's helpful.
Will it show you how much you spent all of the apps from there?
No.
Will it give you a running total?
I'll tell you what. There needs to be an app that calculates the cost of switching to an Android based on replacing your apps.
Yeah, I bet Apple will approve that one.
All right. So you can also hang out with us on IRC. That's Internet Relay Chat for you kids who are not schooled. And we hang out there in the channel Tech Bytes. It's irc.cuckoo.com if you want to use your own IRC client, or you can go to geekradio.com and trust our Java app because, you know, Java's so safe, and join that way. So, all right, so that's all the good news to report. It's going to be a great show tonight. So it looks like it's getting cold. Feels like it's getting cold outside. Mm-hmm. Their front's coming through. Yep. Did your weather thing alert you that it's raining?
No, because it alerted me earlier today that it was raining. But it's sweater weather, so I threw on a
this
sweater.
They're supposed to get down to the 40s tonight, I think.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Wow. Fire up the fireplace.
Get an extra blanket.
62 right now outside the station.
Well, it'll be good weather for going home and watching Sons of Anarchy. Like it was last night, but I DVR'd it. Wednesday nights when I my wind down.
Yes, I have it in my Amazon locker, and I will watch it tomorrow on the elliptical.
On the elliptical. All right. Well, we do have Peter Hughes on the line. That means we are reaching out to San Antonio, and we are going to reach out there and pull in the Technology Bites news program we call the Info Shot. So take it away, Info Shot.
It's the Technology Bites Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
So I wonder if I should make the start of the news more link-baity and have like five stories that you really need tomorrow. Have you noticed that? Have you started to do like me and catch on to the stories that are obviously the headline is designed to be link bait? Well, this one knows is not link bait, but remember, you know, Apple is the one that usually there's all this speculation about what they're doing. Well, you may have noticed the past few weeks there was speculation about this barge that Google's been building in the San Francisco Bay. Was it going to be a data center? Was it going to be a Google store, like some kind of cool store thing or any of that? Well, Google has given some information, and we know that it isn't a data center or a floating party boat. That was another theory, was it was for parties. In a brief statement on Wednesday, Google said, quote, Google barge, a floating data center, a wild party boat, a barge housing the last remaining dinosaur? Sadly, none of the above. Although it's still early days and things may change, we're exploring using the barge as an interactive space where people can learn about new technology. Boo-hoo. Well, that's no fun. Why'd they even debunk that? That's more fun to – they should have denied it like vehemently, you know, done one of them Area 51 kind of denials so that people could, you know, have their conspiracy theories, you know, that that's where the Nexus 6 is or some other clever thing. This, like, true stuff in technology and no rumors and made-up stuff, what kind of – I think Google really is using the barge to explore their hovercraft hovering technology, magnetic hovering, yeah. Well, I'm too late. They already debunked it, so can't make a new rumor. I guess I'll have to make up some Apple rumors. Here's a sad one. Remember the last time you went in a Blockbuster and rented a DVD? Well, if you don't go real soon, that will be the last time that you could ever have gone into a Blockbuster and gotten a DVD. Dish Network bought them a while back, and today announced that Blockbuster will end retail. It'll end both its retail and by-mail DVD distribution operations by early January 2014. The company will close its approximately 300 remaining U.S.-based retail stores as well as its distribution centers. So just to give you a scope on this, if you think about it, This is the end of bigger than an era of, you know, Blockbuster being gone. You know, Blockbuster really rose up when VHS, you know, kind of on, you know, the early version of on-demand video came out in the 80s. And so we've seen the entire life cycle of that type of media distribution has now ended. It's gone, or it's going to be gone in January. So happy New Year. You know, of course, it was videotapes before. Then it transitioned to DVDs. And then partway transited to games and Blu-ray DVDs. And now it's gone. And it's replaced by video on demand, Netflix in particular. And, you know, I guess the DVD rental thing, Redbox, probably did help do them in. But it seems to me that the Redbox thing long term is probably going to get replaced by you know, all online, totally online. So the Blockbuster brand will still exist. There'll be like on demand movie channels and stuff, the Blockbuster at home service or something. But you know, if you want to get your nostalgia on, you've got like, and you can find one of the 300 remaining stores, you better head over there soon because it's probably going to be pretty grim around those parts. Speaking of grim, this one's another interesting sign of the changing times, but kind of interesting. The TV industry looks more bleak every year. This is from the New York Times Bits blog. They said that after sales of television sets fell last year, they're poised to shrink once again this year. Companies called IHS that tracks shipments of displays said today that shipments of televisions declined 7% to the same quarter last year, which is particularly bad news because TV sales typically go up when the holiday shopping season approaches. Sales were down earlier in the year. Based on the downward trend, IHS predicts that TV shipments will fall 5% compared to last year. And last year, television sales were 7% lower than the year before. I think part of it is, I think the LCD, the bigger TVs, people, first off, you don't buy them as often because you're not going to go drop, $800 to $2,500 on a TV every year. And you're not going, and they seem to last. They've kind of got that computer thing, so they don't replace, you don't need to replace them as often. And I think most people who really want one have got one. The next big thing is, of course, 4K televisions, but they have not hit that, like, fall into the price range where people would say replace that main TV in their house with it. So another era that seems to be kind of potentially slipping into the past. This one's the sort of mixed thing where it's, sort of futuristic, kind of cool. Pebble released a major update for its popular smartwatch. The biggest things are better integration and notification delivery when you attach it to your iOS 7 device. They have a new version of the SDK, version 2.0. Oddly enough, with additional APIs and newly enabled support for Bluetooth LE on applicable iOS devices. So it's pretty much a kind of an Apple-y focused update. But they've got a start on it. It's interesting. I haven't seen any just kind of out in the wild, but the fact that they're improving the Pebble, and presumably there'll be other competitors coming out as time goes on. And so we'll keep an eye on it, since I do think that the wearable thing is going to be a growing piece, especially as they find kind of more killer apps. And then finally, this one, there's a visitor from outer space coming close to our solar system. And no, it's not time to put on your purple tent. You put on your Nikes and go, off yourself in your collective web design house. It's the comet ISON, ISON, which is currently barreling towards the sun with a close solar encounter due on November 28th. You can apparently see it in the morning, but if it survives its close approach to the sun, you'll be able to see it at night. Comets are kind of unreliable. In 1986, Halley's Comet was hard to see visually, or there was not much to see. ISON could shine as brightly as the full moon, if we're lucky, or be a dim asterisk or something in between. There is an app. They're charging for it, but it's under $1, so I don't think that's horrific, which is apparent according to the unofficial Apple rumor blog is one of the best ones they've seen. It helps you locate ISON. Then you even can get visually aboard the comet for a 3D fly through as it heads towards the sun and beyond. So it's got some cool views on it. If there's something you want that's free, they recommend the Comet Watch app. So if you're wanting to get your space on, there's a free app, and then there's one that's $1, and you can be all ready and be kind of the coolest kid on your block to know stuff about the upcoming comet. And that's the news.
All right. Beware of the comet. Is it going to be visible to the naked eye at all?
Apparently, it's visible in the morning, and they're not sure. You know, once it goes past the sun, if we're lucky, it's going to be like really like easily seeable at night and have a big long tail that you can spot. So we'll see.
Interesting. Groovehouse, you've been kind of paying attention to the comet a little bit in terms of photography and stuff.
A little bit. I mean, kind of following it a little bit.
In terms of doomsday prepping,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I got my Nikes.
That was a great reference, by the way.
Yes.
We're going to board that comet. Actually, there's a spaceship behind the comet that's going to come and take us away.
Amateria has a friend who actually got a photo of it recently.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
the comet or the spaceship?
Both.
Well, you have to look
or
through
your
the
Nikes.
Tail of the comet.
Yeah. No, the comet. Yeah. So, I mean, it's out there for sure. You can, I don't know if you use a telescope with a camera on it or what, but.
Well, speaking of space stuff, I went to the quilt show this weekend, and NASA had a booth there. Because they wanted to demonstrate the stuff that they sew for the space program. And apparently, and I can't remember, and I feel bad,
quilt.
There's one of the women astronauts from NASA or from America.
Oh, right. Yes.
Up on the space station right now is a quilter, and she makes quilts in space.
Yeah, we had her video up on our site.
Yeah.
It was very popular.
So that was kind of interesting. Space quilts. You'll need that to keep you warm when the comet comes to take you away.
By the way, we hit Chron.com hit 1 billion page views this morning for the year.
A billion for the year.
Last year we did it about December 20th.
How many of those
were
everyone bots?
Trying to navigate
Scraper
that
bots.
New mobile app. It's everyone trying to navigate that mobile app. Oh, I can't get to what I want to get to, and you got to scroll all the way down to get to the full site, and my phone automatically defaults to the mobile app, and. Yeah.
Aren't there some
if you use Chrome you have a little Android device there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you use Chrome and you tell it request desktop should stick, right?
Well, I've got to make a shortcut for it so that it always goes to the desktop one, yeah. Cuz like the weather, you only get like the temperature, you can't get the full forecast or the radar from the mobile app. You've got to go deep into it to find it.
Chron.com, you're doing it wrong.
I'm just like, it's all people trying to navigate that thing.
I bet they're nicer to iPhone users.
Oh, probably.
They're not actually, because I've actually had a couple of my readers say that since they upgraded to iOS 7, they're having some issues with the website. But I don't know.
Well, we launched this new mobile app. It's still at beta, and we're fiddling with it. So Groovehouse, I'll tell you what, if you send me an email with your complaints about it, I'll pass it on, because we are looking at these and trying to tweak it.
Okay.
But, we're quite happy about a billion.
Letters to the editor.
And as somebody noted that on the story where we posted the story about hitting a billion, there was a nice 26-image slideshow on there, which is where we get a lot of our page views. So that was kind of fun.
You have pictures of people, of the hits leading up to
that's right. I don't know.
Actually, my theory is it's that link bait article that you posted on January 1st, 1 billion pages to see on Chron.com.
Man, every
just
time...
one person who's just gone through the whole article.
Huh.
There's a number at the bottom of my website, and every time I go there, it goes up by one. I just see the Chronicles hired a bunch of people, you know, a bunch of slave laborers to kind of just keep hitting refresh. We got to hit a million by tomorrow morning.
Back in the old days, if that's how you wanted hits, that's how you got them. You had to click them yourself.
I didn't know this.
All my own visits.
Somebody told me today that with the Associated Press and our own staff stuff and the variety of other syndicated stuff that flows into Chron.com in a variety of ways, that we probably have about 10,000 pieces of new content a day, which is just like, whoa.
And that's like feeds from all the other websites y'all put on there, too?
Yes, right. It's everything that kind of comes into our content.
The annoying video that starts on its own and all that. Yeah.
So in terms of online newspapers, do you have any idea where the Chron stacks up to other national or other internet publications of like local papers? Like you have your New York papers.
You know, I have seen that list. I don't remember it. We're in the top 10. But
really?
I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head where we fall.
Still top 10. Yeah. I mean, you're up there like
competing. Well, we're in the top 10 of of newspapers nationally as well. So,
I mean,
it's just it just kind of makes sense. So but I think we're higher when it comes to newspaper websites.
You're up there revving elbows with like the New York Times and
I don't know the New York Times. The New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today, LA Times,
National Enquirer.
They're kind of a little higher up there, but I don't want to say, but I've seen it. We're in the top 10. So.
Yeah, well, and the Times, one of the things that would limit them is you can only view so many articles without subscribing.
Yeah, but you can get around that. It's so easy to get around that.
Yeah, I just mean, though, there are a lot of people, though, that's going to stop. They're only going to view it so many times in, say, a month, and then when it tells them they can't, they may stop.
So the perfect photo, I just thought about the perfect photo with all the stuff in the news, it would be the comet going over the Astrodome as it's being imploded.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, that's so sad. There are certain
imploded and a Blockbuster being closed.
Oh, yeah.
There are certain stories that always do really well on our site. Anything about the Astrodome, Michael Brown, the hand surgeon. What are some others? Whataburger. Any Whataburger story just does.
Heck yeah.
Huge pay. Yeah, see?
Why?
How are they in the news? Like, what do they do besides?
Well, for example, when they started selling their condiments at HEB, that was like incredibly hot on our site for days. people love that. People love that.
I mean, it's probably like a California newspaper doing things on In-N-Out. You know, people over there would click on that. I mean, right. Whataburger's a Texas.
Oh, is it a Texas thing? Is that
what
you
didn't know about Whataburger? Yeah, Whataburger started in Corpus Christi. I think it's now based in San Antonio.
I mean, people in Texas look at Whataburger and think, yeah, that's Texas hamburger.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Really?
That's
our I've never heard that. I never like, I'm Texas proud I eat at Whataburger. I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. They're from, like you said, they're from Corpus, so.
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, I believe you.
And they've been around since like the 50s.
And the Whataburger ads, the guy who says Whataburger is like David Beebe's uncle or something. Huh. So Texas. Like local talent.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I have to eat more Whataburgers then.
Yeah, everybody.
It's a Texan thing to
see
do.
See your doctor first.
Yeah. Consult your physician before eating Whataburger.
No, that one on the drive through at the Whataburger right there at Shepherd and 59.
It's always busy.
Yeah. But when it's not, sometimes I just pull right in. There's nobody in that line.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Why do you not believe me?
Oh, I thought you said you didn't eat there very much.
I didn't say I didn't eat there.
Oh, you just weren't aware that they were Texas-based.
No, I was unaware that they were Texas-based. I will increase my eatage. All right, the phone number here, if you want to be on the air, I was driving through town, and this is a show about Whataburgers.
I'm sure our ratings just went up. Everybody got...
I'm sure
we're getting hits right now. I can feel it.
Page views galore. Geek Radio Whataburger. That's the Google search. If you want to be
our next location for the next Geek Gathering.
Yeah, we just have it.
Yeah, have it at Whataburger.
Oh, my God, no.
Find one with a banquet room.
We just buy the condiments at the HEB and go from there.
Yeah, see, if Whataburger served beer, that would be...
What a beer.
What a beer.
What a beer. Like a German, beer, please.
It's the German version.
Now I'm thinking, is there any great... I mean, obviously, there has to be, like, you know, grills and stuff that have good burgers and sell alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm sure we could find.
But there's not a fast food. I guess, yeah, like, here's your Budweiser.
Chug.
No, it's like you drive through. Yeah. I remember there was a drive through liquor store in Pasadena when I was younger. It was kind of strange because you would pull your car into this, like, barn-like place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Coolers.
There was a chain of those. There was a chain.
Oh, there's several in Austin. There's a few in Austin.
They still have them in Louisiana. They'll actually, like, give you a real-life cup and then just put tape around the top in, like, a sealed container. And they give you a straw, which is just
shady.
That's
how they get away with doing the drive-through margaritas and stuff.
Yeah, that's what, like, a drive-through daiquiri place, I think, is what...
You guys are so knowledgeable in the ways of easy, tasty beverages and foods. All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. We're up against, apparently, a soccer game. Was there any other stuff?
A comet.
A comet's coming. People ran outside during the info shot to see if they could see that.
It's cold.
Comet.
It's cold outside.
It's cooler outside. Yeah. I see a phone ringing. That's good. 713-526-KPFT if you want to be on the air. We're taking your calls, willing to talk to you about technology and stuff. here tonight on Technology Bites. I'm trying to think if there's no new tech stuff I've encountered.
I tried to draw pins before. I got KitKat 4.4. I got the new Android.
Oh, you got the,
and the Nexus 5.
Was that pushed out to you?
No, no, no. It's Nexus 5.
Oh, you
it
got
came
the,
on
new,
the new phone.
Oh, you
yeah.
got the new got phone. The
yeah, I got it a couple days ago.
Oh, that's a great. Is that your lock screen?
No, that's the normal screen. I made it all monochrome.
He'd show it to you, but it's all broken now.
It's not broken yet.
Not yet.
Yeah,
it would be funny as if somebody he showed it to broke it.
Broke it.
Instead of him.
Just don't give it back
so is that
to him.
Like
it won't
what
break.
They call an active wallpaper?
Yeah, that's an active wallpaper. That, so it's a clock.
Is that default or does that come with it? Or did you?
No, I went and downloaded it. I generally don't download wallpapers because I feel that those are going to be like the most malicious things out there because they don't really do anything.
Right.
Someone's going to throw some malware in there. So I got that one now. And then that's like a battery, which
okay,
is like grayed out. And
time,
everything's
right.
monochrome.
I was looking
yeah.
for some clever way for it to display the time and it actually has hands on it. So, oh, it's like, okay, where's the where
right,
the
it's number? Not binary, it's not hexadecimal, it's not no. Egyptian.
It's very cool. I like this.
It's a little bit bigger. It's the densities. I mean, it's super lightweight, too. I mean, compared to the Nexus 4, it's
it
a lot lighter.
Is it because of the wallpaper?
It's the wallpaper.
Slide that across, it just kind of jutters across.
It's the wallpaper.
Yeah. Is that, yeah. And that's a T-Mobile.
I got it straight from Google, right. But I activated it on T-Mobile. So I've got LTE now, which I didn't
have
LTE? Before.
Oh.
Yeah.
And do you have speed test installed on
no,
here?
No, not yet.
I like the way the screens.
They did a lot of new stuff. So there's that. You can have unlimited desktops now, but there's no button. Like if you go and try and find like how to modify out the number of desktops you have, you can't. You just drag them on over. Like the Google Play thing is all gone. The
Ooh, let me
when
get
you go
some
to your
authenticator apps, codes.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. Oh yeah, trying to do the two-factor authentication when you're swapping phones is tough because I had to keep going. You know, my 1 2-factor authentication was on the other phone. So I moved to this phone, deactivated that phone. But to activate this phone, I need the 2-factor that was on the other phone. So it's like...
But you can also...
I had my 10 printable codes, right. Which is what I did. Yep.
I'm doing the two... I feel like I'm dancing on the edge of locking myself out of my email. But I'm doing the 2-factor authentication on my Gmail. And that, you know, combined with the fact that I have so many things tied to my mail anyway, it feels better. It feels more secure. I feel like... You know, feel like it's harder to get into my stuff.
I'm locked into a lot of stuff through Google. It's like that one email account ties into so many different things. That's why I don't mind so much having to jump through some hoops to protect
Well, the
it.
Authenticator was just, I was glad to have found that app. And then also finding, there needs to be another one that generates the custom passwords for the other apps mm-hmm. that you have to put in the one time.
Yeah, password. Where you have to go through the website and do all that. Yeah, yeah. They need to streamline that. But on 4.4, it was pretty amazing. Like, once you actually sign into Google, Google then, instead of saying, hey, do you want to use this account, it automatically, this time, signs you into everything else. Like, it always would pre-populate your apps. It'd pull your Wi-Fi information down. But this one seems to know how to go in and reconfigure the apps when you pull them down, which I was pretty impressed with, at least the Google stuff.
Okay.
And then the deep searching is really cool, too. So, like, when you search for something, it'll actually go in and, like, pull up an appointment or pull up something, you know, from deeper down in there, not just, you know, whatever the web would give you.
This is 32 gigs?
Yeah, I got the 32. Of course, the App Store had issues, too. They kept saying they're running out and not running out, and the ship dates were wildly, you know,
right.
fluctuating.
How long did it take you to get it?
I got it Tuesday, a couple days. I think I ordered it Friday, and it showed up Tuesday.
It's got a nice feel to it.
Yes, it does. The screen is beautiful.
Well, I remember you did have one of these. I just kind of...
I didn't have a Nexus 5.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No. I do now.
You had something that kind of had that feel to it, I thought.
I had the Maybe Moto not. X.
Maybe it was the
There's
Moto X.
There's talk that the iPhone 6 might have a larger screen like that.
I think it will.
But it won't have a price like the Nexus 5.
No. It's probably going to be twice as much.
Well, how much was the
These are like three something for like the 16 gig and then three and change for the 32.
Really?
They're not that much. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Just unlocked without a...
Yeah, it's an awesome phone, and that's the one thing that kind of, you know, irks me is that people say, well, it's a great phone for the price. It's a great phone, period, but then you compound the price in there, and it really is, because that's unlocked. That's not, like, on contract. That's, you know, that's your phone.
You pay the money, you get the phone, you do whatever you
want. Go wherever you want to, yeah.
Is it easy to open up? Is it got a...
It is sealed. It's sealed, yeah. As was the Nexus 4.
Although I thought one of the teardowns said that it came apart really easily and went back together really easily.
They said it was serviceable. I read that. But,
so go ahead and take it apart, Jay.
Let's see.
Well, I see where the SIM card is. It's similar to the iPhone.
Yeah, got to have a little tool to pop that out.
Right. I mean, like, what, a little
like a paperclip, right?
It's even thinner than that.
Really?
Yeah, they give you a special tool just for that, and it looks like a needle. I mean, it's pretty thin.
That's a nice feeling. It's light. It's super light, but doesn't quite. It's plastic. But it doesn't have that completely cheesy.
Yeah, the fact that the back won't pop off, kind of, you know, like how the Galaxy phones felt. I always felt whenever I took the back off that I was just going to break the back.
Who makes the hardware? Is it LG?
LG again, yeah.
Wow. Because I have an LG TV. I like that. All right. Well, looks like we got some calls in the queue, which is good. So we occupied enough time.
And I know about the first one.
I've seen Barrett's phone in its most pristine state. We'll see how
you won't ever see it again like that.
I haven't even taken the screen off yet. It still says Nexus 5 on the front.
Oh, is that why it...
Yeah, I was joking around like, I guess it's broken. I can't get it to stop saying Nexus 5. And so I was like, dude, just take the screen thing off. Like, yeah, that was a joke.
Are you going to get a...
I'm going to get a bumper. Yeah, I'm going to get something for it.
I mean, question is, how did you already break the L key on the on-screen keyboard?
All
right, so we got calls in the queue. Let's go talk to Groovehouse. Hey, Groovehouse.
Hello, Jake.
What's up?
Oh, you know, just answering phones and putting people in the queue. And
all right, well, you got some people that want to talk to us, I see.
Yes, I do.
Let's have the first one.
All right, then. First up on the show tonight, we are going to speak with John.
John, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
What's up, guys? Hope y'all are doing well and enjoying the weather change.
Here we are.
Yay. So I was a big fan of the iGoogle and made a homepage with a couple of useful widgets and a bunch of news feeds. Now that that's gone, have you guys discovered any alternatives that work as well or better?
Yes, I've had this question from quite a few readers, and what I've been recommending is the My Yahoo page. In fact, I don't know if it's still there, but My Yahoo had, while... If you did it while you had iGoogle still, you're able to go into Google Checkout, I believe is what it's called, and download your data, your settings and everything for iGoogle, and then you can upload it to My Yahoo, and it tries to duplicate it.
Huh. All right.
The widgets aren't, you know, the same widgets aren't all there, obviously, but it will do the best it can. And I created a My Yahoo page from my iGoogle, and it came pretty close.
Wow. Yahoo. I had heard about that before it went away. Okay.
Yeah, well, I think you'd still go into it's Barrett, what's the name of Google's? Google has a central location where you can go in and download the data from any of its products. I forget the name of that.
I usually, once I log into Chrome, I don't even pay attention because everything just kind of presents itself. There's also ighome.com, which is like the iGoogleHome.com where they've migrated. It kind of looks like the old iGoogle. I don't know how long it's going to stay.
iGhome, right.
iGhome, but someone put that up there to ease the pain of losing iGoogle.
That's a stand-in, or is that a Google product? Or
it's
what?
Not a Google product. It's someone else making it look like a Google product.
Does Chrome have anything that works like that?
I'm sure there's some plugins to get you close as far as aggregators and stuff, but I don't think there's a direct replacement. It's kind of sad. I didn't even realize it was gone. I hadn't used it in a while, but I do remember that.
Huh. I'm still frustrated. Okay. Can I have one more question, please?
Sure.
Have you had any success with the virtual keyboards? I'm going to be looking for another smartphone soon, and I'm just addicted to my slide-out keyboard.
You'll get unaddicted.
You will get unaddicted really
I was very addicted, I guess, to my keyboard on my other phone before I got my Android. And on-screen keyboard and swipe and those things, just you learn real quick, and it's very useful.
Especially now. I was one of the holdouts where I actually made several phone purchases just based on the fact that I could get a hardware keyboard. And now it's like I couldn't imagine going back to that because it adds so much more bulk. And really, the first few phones, such small screens, the typing wasn't all that great. But now you've got multiple keyboards to choose from, and everyone's kind of got it down. It's more of a commodity now. Just everything works.
Being able to swipe makes typing really fast and autocorrect, and the words pop up and allow you to choose the right word. That just makes it really easy.
Yeah, the on-screen keyboard is not a problem. And when you say a virtual keyboard, what do you talk about? Like an external keyboard or something?
No, the on-screen keyboard.
Yeah. They're way better. And like Groovehouse was mentioning, depending on the brand you get, a lot of the Android phones come with what's called swipe, which you can actually just kind of draw the word by
dragging
over the keyboard.
It's like you're typing, but you don't even lift your thumbs. Right. You just kind of move it around
with your finger.
If you want to spell the word smile, you just tap on the S, and then you find your way to the M, you find your way to the I, and it figures out that you want to type that word in pre-populated.
And that's available primarily on Android devices.
Not only that, but the vocal recognition to send, you know, it'll you just speak your message and it'll put it almost 100% accurate. I mean, it's really good. So that that's a plus also. I mean,
I was like Barrett, you know, I had my first really good smartphone was the original Android G1, and I really liked that pop-out keyboard, mm-hmm. and I thought, man, this is the way to go. This is so much better than anything else, and I've got the keyboard. But my second phone, I ditched the keyboard, and I never looked back. It was fine, yeah.
All right. So is Android going to give us a flying car finally?
Somebody else already did.
They must have hidden it away with my electric car. All right. cool. Thanks very much, guys.
All right.
Hold on. Before you go, the name of the feature that lets you download your data in Google products is called Google Takeout.
Google Takeout.
Right. But I'm looking at it, and they no longer have iGoogle in there.
Ah, okay.
So you'll have to – you may not be able to do it. But apparently, the Google export – I'm seeing somebody on Twitter saying the Google export to the IG function is still there, and My Yahoo directs you to it. So go to My Yahoo, look for the link on there, and it should take you to the right place to download that.
Cool.
And Google search the transition flying car because it's out there.
The transition, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
All right, cool. Thanks very much, guys. Bye.
All this talk about flying cars, people saying they're waiting on their flying cars. Where's my flying car?
Well, where's my flying car? I don't care about that one. I want
flying cars are for the lazy. You need a jetpack.
We'll have self-driving cars before we'll have flying cars.
Speaking of things flying, did y'all catch the video of the two planes colliding in midair and the guys jumping out of the parachutes?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty crazy.
We need flying cars.
Yeah, skydivers in the planes.
Right. Now, people in this town can't drive regular cars. Let's put them in the air. Oh, you have another one of those fly boys crash into my pool again. Hate fishing that crud out. All right, 713-526-5738. Groovehouse,
yes.
Who's up next?
Next on the show, we're going to speak with Dennis.
Dennis, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, gang. You all talking about burger joints that sell beer. I was reminded of some fun times in the 70s. There used to be a Prince's Hamburger joint right at the corner of Montrose and Westheimer, and we could pull up there, you know, where they had the young lady bellhops, and I could order a cheeseburger, french fries, and a scotch on the rocks.
Wow,
they had a full bar? They had a full bar?
At the Prince's?
Is that where the gas station is now, or what corner?
Yeah, what corner?
The Prince's Hamburger joint.
What corner was it on?
The Stop and Go is now.
The Stop and Go, wow.
Yes, indeed.
I would trade the Stop and Go for that again.
I would definitely trade the Stop and Go.
Then you would just head over to the Booby Rock or to the Million Dollar City.
It was fun back then.
Yeah, it was an interesting time.
Now, times have changed.
So what can we do for you?
We wouldn't do that now. Well, hey, I got a rather pedestrian setup question. It's printer problems. My hard drive crashed a couple days ago, circa 2005. Fortunately, everything was backed up. But I went out and bought all new equipment, and I went through the wireless setup with a brand-new Brother printer with my AT&T UVerse. Got that all taken care of, and then I go to print, and the printer says that it's receiving the data, but nothing happens. And I tried to call Brother customer service. They're gone for the day in Tennessee, and then the light bulb went off. Hey, the guys at Technology Bites are on the air. Let me give them a shot.
All right, so repeat the question.
I have a printer.
Printer and a newly imaged computer?
What's the model?
The Brother printer wirelessly hooked up. It says that it's receiving the data when I hit print, but then nothing happens.
So the printer actually gives a message on the printer screen that says it's receiving the data?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And it's the normal message.
And the printer reports, but it's not working. It's not printing wirelessly.
What model is it?
It's the Brother 8760.
And you said it does print from the USB ports, but not wirelessly?
Well, I don't know if it prints from the USB ports because I didn't set it. You know, Brother makes you set it up one way or the other. It's I'm sorry, it's the 7860. 7860.
Now, how many computers do you have on your network?
Just one.
Just
I just have one.
And so you've got a router in place, a Wi-Fi access point on the router, and the printer's hooked up to it, and the computer's hooked up to the Wi-Fi access point, right?
Yeah, and that's my question. My it just dawned on me that my computer is set up old school with an Ethernet. I don't have it set up wirelessly, but...
It should still reach out and talk to it.
So long as there's nothing blocking it.
When I print the LAN report, it says that the connection's okay. I printed a network configuration report, and, you know, that says everything okay. And even when I hit print, it says that it's receiving the data, but then nothing happens.
Does it have a web interface? Like, can you pull up a web page if you go to the IP address of the printer on the network?
I don't think so, no. Not that I know of.
And the computer's running what operating system?
Windows 8.
Have you got any security software installed on there, like firewall software or anything like that?
Yeah, I disabled the... I disabled the McAfee firewall that came with it, and the Windows firewall, I think it's, I programmed it to allow it.
Try turning it off altogether. Let's see. Processing document, problem was using, it's hard to say. If you do a Google search on Brother Printer receiving data, you do find some different blog posts, people talking about it. But I'm trying, like, even Brother has it on their website. Let's say if the printer stops receiving data halfway through the print job, the printer will wait for a predetermined time.
Are you just printing a test page, or are you printing, you're not printing, like, a big graphical...
No, I'm just printing like a document. It was a PDF document off of Chrome that I wanted to print off, and I tried it several times, and it starts. It acts like it starts
right,
to print.
Right, the printer's doing bidirectional communication, and if it's printing through the Brother software, your firewall might be blocking part of what the printer is needing to receive. So the first thing I would do is I would just disable the Windows firewall. Even though you've made an allocation for it, just try disabling the Windows firewall completely to see if that will let you get your print job through. Because the fact that it says it's receiving data tells me that it is at least getting part of the information, that there's a communication going on, the two devices see each other, but something is blocking the necessary data for that thing to complete the print job. And that sounds to me like it's firewall related.
Okay.
And sometimes Windows firewall gets a little aggressive, and especially if this thing is printing through some like app rather than straight to a print driver. I know that they have these different apps, like HP has an app that communicates with the printer that tells it how much ink is left and other information on the printer. And that software is how the applications go through that widget or whatever to send the data to the printer. So if your firewall is blocking any of that, it could be holding up the print job. So I would try something like that that's just direct, you know, turn off all the firewalls and see what happens.
I know for a fact that firewall is still on, so I'll go try that.
Yeah, for sure try turning it off, and then if you can try to retrain the firewall.
Okay, and then... Brother is open at 8 o'clock in the morning. Hopefully, it won't take that long.
Is it a new printer?
Yeah, it's a brand new. Everything's brand new.
Yeah, it looks like there's a web interface on there to where I don't know if the network report you printed out gives you an IP address, but if you can put that IP address in a web browser, a lot of times it'll have like a status, or you can at least see what's going on. You can see if it's getting a print job.
Okay, yeah, actually,
you can see
I'm looking at that.
Out.
Yes.
Admin and access is the username and password, so it doesn't really make that obvious anywhere.
It's got the IP address via DHCP.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but you just want to get that IP address, and instead of putting in www.whatever in your web browser, put that IP address in, and that should bring you up to a web interface on the printer, which you can get some more data
from. Yeah, poke around, see if there's any kind of error messages.
Got it.
Go to print jobs.
Okay, good deal.
All right?
I'll do it.
All right.
Thanks,
well, good
guys.
Luck. Thanks for your call. Bye.
Bye.
Well, good. Our clock in here actually tells us what time it is.
It's not 1334 anymore.
Yeah, it was like some odd number. 343 it was.
343.
It's quarter to four somewhere. All right. 713-526-5738. Have we got an update on the game, Flicted? Is there any been scoring?
It's still tied.
Has someone kicked a ball?
It's soccer. It'll
spoke.
Be tied.
They're still running up and down. Up
I'm
and
waiting. I want Flicked to go. He's either going to go, yay, or no.
Goal.
Or no.
He is watching the game. That's why the net's been slow.
No? He's shaking his head. Groovehouse shakes his head. All right. Groovehouse.
83rd minute.
83rd
still
minute.
Tied.
And how many minutes are there?
90.
90.
And then is it sudden
man,
death?
The red... Well, this is the second game. If it's tied, they go to penalty kicks. It's, yeah, but the Red Bull, like, all over us. We're lucky that we haven't gotten scored on.
There it is. 1-1. I think you can do
Hold
this.
Hold on
too.
Now.
I think you can do this. What?
Can you name a sports team after a sports beverage?
They just did.
There's, okay. See, I don't really follow
money.
Sports, but I just saw that. I'm
want.
Like, wow, that's.
Hold on.
So there's a team called the Red Bulls?
Apparently, they've got two Red Bulls that are. It's like
Siri,
the.
What is the score of the Dynamo's Red Bull game?
The nearest Red Bull is...
Which sport?
All right.
Here's the MLS schedule between today and tomorrow.
Oh, no, fail.
You
okay,
blew it,
Google.
Siri.
Score Dynamo Red Bulls. Yeah, match day, Red Bulls, Houston, Dynamo 8.
It gives you...
It gives me web links.
Yeah.
No, no, 2-2, final score. That's three days ago. No.
That was on Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. Well, at least it got me closer.
They inflicted a heart attack.
Well, I do. Yeah, I do have it on Google now.
Well, he's streaming live. I think he can actually see what's going on.
It will take you.
Okay, inflicted. Score. Dynamo Red Bulls.
In the 84th minute, the score is 1-1.
Who's
inflicted wins?
All right, Groovehouse. Where'd you go? You
left. Okay, Groovehouse.
Okay, Groovehouse.
Take call. He's worse than Siri.
Another fail.
Yeah. I think he crashed.
Someone
reboot
him.
Huh.
He's gone. I don't know where he went.
We need a call, Flicked. Can you give us a call, please?
Do I just have to press a button?
We could do it from in here, I suppose.
We can do it from in here.
All right. Who's up next?
Barrett.
We've got David.
David, you're on the air with Technology Byte.
David.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks. I have a question about Bitcoin mining. I've seen that there's a new, the fourth generation technology, the ASIC. I'm not sure if you
ASIC. Yeah, that's been around for a while.
And well, I guess they're like they're going to be coming out with pre-orders for this next generation of ASIC. And like I've looked at the Bitcoin calculators, like profitability calculators, and it seems like it might be feasible to get one of those machines if you had like $5,000 or $3,000 to purchase one of those machines. What do you think about that?
You got to be careful. A lot of people are in that. So all ASIC is, just people that don't know, I think it stands for like application specific integrated circuit. So like where you have a general purpose computer that you can program to do anything, but it's kind of slow because it needs to be prepared to do anything. ASICs can do a very specific thing. They can break passwords. They can generate bitcoins. So when you're talking about Bitcoin mining, what you've got to do is you've got to do a lot of complex mathematical tasks. You do enough of them, and you're rewarded with a Bitcoin. So the idea is you need to your expenditure and what you spend on hardware and electricity needs to be able to make more in bitcoins than you can. You've also got to be able to go fast enough because you've got inflation. You've got all these other things to go against. So generally, I think the advice that most people give that unless you just want to do Bitcoining, Bitcoin mining is a hobby, you need to be extremely serious and probably jump in with a little bit more than that because they're guys that just eat, live, breathe. That's all they do is this kind of thing. So it's really hard to stay up. Usually the best pieces of hardware that give the best return, they're usually spoken for before they even come out. And most of them are just, like FPGA, ASIC stuff that's done especially for that. If you want to just kind of dip your toes in there, there are like some USB sticks that are like $30 and $40 on Amazon. It might take you 2 weeks to turn out a Bitcoin, 3 weeks, but that might be a way to experiment with it instead of throwing $5,000 down the hole that you might not realize.
Okay. Yeah.
The other thing, go check out Slashdot and or just go hit Google. Someone found a pretty big flaw in the Bitcoin operation two, to where if you have like over 33% of the people mining Bitcoins, if they decide to kind of take it over, they can actually do it. Before, they thought that the numbers had to be closer to 50%, but you can have, I think they call it like greedy miners. If you have just a small pool of them, they can actually tip things. So they're suggesting patches, but you know, Bitcoin is just, it's very, very volatile, you know?
Okay. So, you guys don't have any like a personal experience or like a, of friends that have done it?
I mean, I know a couple of people that do it. Jay's got some Bitcoins. We've got a friend that is fairly serious about it. He runs like several blades of that. But yeah, I've always kind of shied away.
Yeah. It seems like you got to have, it's a major investment of time and money resources to get a good mining operation up and going. It's a little late in the game because there are a lot of people that are out there and they're doing it. There's a finite number of Bitcoins in the world to be had. There's not new ones really coming up like they were a while back.
The guy you wanted to be was a guy that spent like $27, you know, like 3 years ago, and now somebody's got $800,000 for the Bitcoins because, you know, he got them for like, you know, 100 for like a buck, you know. It's that, which isn't to say don't do it, but just, you know, it's not a money-making
enterprise right now.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for the info, guys.
All right, good luck.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
He'll probably call us back in a few weeks and be a Bitcoin billionaire. Ha-ha.
Well, you know.
Or it'll turn out he spent the whole $5,000 on the Twitter IPO.
By the time the common man becomes aware of something like this, the opportunity tends to have passed.
Too late, yeah.
You know, if you bought Apple stock early on, that was something. If you bought Google stock early on, that was something. But, you know, like, wow, look, there's a lot of money to be had.
Tomorrow you could buy Twitter stock.
Are you going to buy any?
No. I can't buy it. I write about it.
You can only buy 144 shares or less.
What do you mean you can't buy it?
You're not invested. I mean, you're not.
Yeah, I can't buy the stock because I write about them. I cover them. It's an ethics thing.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
You don't have insider information.
No, but I don't. No, but
you would write favorably about it, conceivably write favorably about him to cause his interest to go up.
Or people would perceive that. So, yeah.
And you've already got the fanboy label going for you with Apple, so you really don't need to.
We'll pick this up.
All right. We'll come back.
That's standard. That's standard in the media business.
Huh. Maybe you could buy stock in a competing 140 character communication system.
No, can't do it.
All right, well, we got to have to take a short break here, do some station business. So we're going to take a short break and do some station business. You're listening to Technology Bites, your favorite computer show of all time. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Word Women Organize to Resist and Defend is a grassroots feminist organization that is dedicated to building the struggle for women's rights and equality for all. Word believes in taking to the streets, independent of the politicians of either major party. Throughout history, the gains that women have made have been won through militant action. Word wants to revive this kind of struggle by uniting all women to defend our rights. In addition, Word fights for equality for all, fighting racism, anti-LGBT bigotry, and the oppression of the poor are part and parcel of our struggle. No woman can be free while others are oppressed. For more information about women organized to resist and defend, you can visit defendwomensrights.org. You're tuned in to 90.1 KPFT Houston.
So
Saber Cat Rescue and Canine Angels Rescue invites you to a special grand opening event on Friday, November 8th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy food and drinks, music and family fun while touring side-by-side bungalows converted into cat and dog specific adoption centers. Come see a unique approach to animal rescue in Houston where Saber Cat and Canine Angels work together to get abandoned pets into loving homes, plus meet some adoptable pets. For more information, you can visit SaberCatRescue.org or CanineAngelsRescue.org. This is KPFT Houston.
And we are back.
All right, back for more Technology Bites. Yay. All right, all of our phone lines are dead. Boo.
They're not dead. They're just, they're alive. Dead. They're live.
Unoccupied.
They're, okay, they're unoccupied.
For the record, it just, end of regulation. I don't know how many penalty minutes they added, but it ended 1-1. Now they're going to penalty kicks to see who wins.
And if that takes too long, they go to Rochambeau.
All right. 713-526-5738. So the game can conceivably end in a tie tonight, yes?
No.
They're going to play it all the way to penalty
kicks. It's the second playoff game. It's aggregate. So it ended in a tie, so now they go to penalty kicks. And I don't know what happens if they end tied penalty kicks.
More penalty kicks.
They just keep going until someone wins.
I think they get 5-5, and then they go 1-1-1-1 or something like that, yeah.
And then they start killing one player at a time. It's got a real incentive to score before that starts happening.
Chopping off feet. Body parts.
So it is going to end before we end this show, conceivably. Yes. And
it should, yeah.
We'll either have a happy afflicted or a sad afflicted.
So this is it's all done. If we lose this game, we are out, right?
Yeah, this is the playoffs. Yeah, so if we lose.
It's do or die.
Yep.
Okay, soccer.
So what's the phone number if people want to call in?
What is the phone number, Dwight?
It's 713-526-5738.
713-526-KPFT. Groovehouse is standing by.
Or sitting.
Or sitting by. So he's right there. He's right there waiting for you, for your call. And, you know, I know everybody's kind of caught up in the Dynamo game now because afflicted. I think that's true. Maybe it's not true.
I believe it.
You think it's true? Uh-huh. I think it's true. All right, so 713-526-KPFT. I think people are wrapped up in that game, and they're in it's not overtime, is it? It's a penalty time.
But the only way you can see it, right, is on if you have that Comcast Sportsnet thing, right?
No, it's also playing on
Univision
Desportes.
I think it's probably a split between the soccer thing and people who are out looking for the Comet. I bet the numbers are real close.
And MLS Live, if you pay for MLS Live. And any other way you can find the game.
Comcast Sports Network.
Nudge, nudge.
Is a copyright infringing outfit stealing my photo.
Another one or the same one?
Same one. They keep using my Astrodome photo for every Astrodome story they do at CSN.
No word yet?
Trying to reach out to them and contact them and shame them on Twitter, and they do not respond. Now they're filing bankruptcy anyway, so I don't know.
Let's say send them a bill, but if they're doing that, then
send it anyway.
I'm surprised Crosby, Stills, and Nash haven't sued him for CSN.
Took me a minute.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Maybe we can work on that.
Let's just find the multi-pronged attack.
Yeah. Especially that part when they paired up with Neil Young and never mind.
All right.
Classic rock Pete coming in from San Antonio.
They didn't go to penalty kicks.
They did.
What happened?
The rules changed this
year?
They didn't.
They're playing more game.
They're playing another quarter.
They said, let's screw it. Let's just run up and down the field some more. Up and down, up and down. Kick the ball.
Yep.
Hmm. That if the Bitcoin caller is still listening, surely he's gone out and like checked out of the forums and gone to all the IRC channels. But if you want to hear like tales of woe and complaints and, you know, see what you got to do to be able to make money at that, go hit the boards, go hit the forums. There's like Bitcoin Talk, there's Dustcoin, there's a lot of stuff out there. So go read up before you plunk down a whole bunch of money.
on the plus side, I found a technology company Dwight could invest in because I'll probably never write about it again. MySpace. He can invest in MySpace.
Wow, I haven't heard of that before. Is that new?
Well, no, he wouldn't be writing about it anymore, I wouldn't think. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to invest in a company with absolutely no buzz at all.
They've revamped the MySpace.
I know they have.
Even Justin Timberlake couldn't put any buzz into MySpace anymore.
Yeah, really.
He bought in. I mean, he put in a bunch of money, I think.
And so Pete, did you talk about this thing that Target is doing?
The iPad trade-in?
Yes. Yeah. So if you have an iPad of any type, from any generation, you can waddle on over to
Why do people that go to Target waddle?
People go to Walmart. You waddle. And your iPad and waddle over to Target.
So anyway, you waddle on over to Target with a mobility store. It has to have a mobility store, and you can find one of those by checking on Target's website. If they do, they will give you a minimum, if it's a working iPad, even an iPad 1, $200. A gift card, which you can use. They're encouraging you to buy an iPad Air. So my lovely wife and I went over with her iPad 1, and we traded, and they did not have any iPad Airs, but she was able to get the 200. So it's very real. And, you know, if you have an iPad 1, you know that for the most part it's really slow. You can't upgrade it past iOS 5. And if you try to trade it in on a place like Gazelle, you only get about $70 for it. Then that's the base iPad. So it's a pretty good deal, I think. And you can actually spend the $200 on anything in the store.
One story I had set aside and then I missed it when I opened my tabs for the news is Apple shut down. You know how it's hard to find the Air and hard to find the iPhone 5S. They put in a DMCA complaint against the site that has the store availability of all their Apple products.
They did?
And so that site's offline.
Oh,
yeah.
I saw it was offline. I didn't know they had been Bigfooted.
So just in time for when the mini with the Retina display comes out and will be like crazy hard to find is the rumors. So then you won't have that tool to help you figure out where you could get one.
713-526-5738.
We got the call.
526-KPFT. We do has a call. Groovehouse.
I can has cheeseburger?
I can has call. I can has computer call.
Oh, okay.
But you can has a Whataburger.
Oh, even better.
All right.
Yes.
Who's up?
All right. Up next on the second half of the show, we're going to speak with Bill.
Bill, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi. I'm trying to assemble. I've got the parts coming. And my question is, what I want to do is I want to use an SSD drive to download the operating system in this and then use a regular hard drive like a WD-4 terabyte to load some other programs onto that. So I'm just pulling off basically using the SSD drive. And the type of D drive I'm looking at is a Samsung 840 S Pro or 840 Pro at 512 gigabits.
Or bytes.
Actually, gigabytes.
Sounds good.
Gigabytes.
Yeah.
So what's your question?
Well, my question is, is that a feasible, deal to do? Is to use the SSD as the primary,
yes.
I guess.
It will be fast. You will like it.
Yes.
You can okay.
Updates go quickly. It boots quickly.
Yeah, the one thing to note is that I presume you're using Windows.
Either 7 Pro or I'll go to 8.1 Pro.
So the one thing that you want to be aware of is that as you install software on that, a lot of software tries to default to the C drive, which will be your SSD. And so you just want to pay attention when you install software that you aim it at your regular hard drive. So, if you have a 512 gigabyte hard drive, you'll have some room for some pretty decent software. What I would do is put your most used programs on the SSD, your lesser used ones, and your data on the hard drive.
I would say move the date off, but you're going to be hard-pressed, unless you're running like huge AutoCAD stuff, to come up with half a terabyte of pure application data and operating system stuff.
Unless you're running all Microsoft products.
Okay.
I try to keep it as small as I can.
Yeah. You could keep, again, if you use Office regularly, put that on the SSD. If you're, anything that you use daily, put your web browsers on there. If you use Chrome or Firefox, put those on there. And then anything else that you don't use regularly in any data, put it over on the hard drive. But pay attention as you install it to what drive it wants to put it on.
So that it goes, basically what I use the most goes to the C drive, the SSD.
Right.
And then everything else, like other programs, used or stuff that I, use periodically, I just put that on the HD.
Right.
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your call. All right. One call down in the second hour, and plenty of time left, and all the lines are open at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. What were you going to say there, Barrett?
It's because it's still a pretty good chunk of disk. I was not an early adopter, but I got one of the smaller SSD drives, like 128 gigs, and I'm definitely running out of room on there as far as operating system and applications. But, half a terabyte, that's pretty nice. It's getting to the point where that's usable.
It's usable.
Yeah.
All right. There was an article that showed the price per gigabyte of hard drive space, and I think it started at like $300,000 in the 70s, and then now it's like 10 cents or something when you buy a large hard drive.
Someone's
pretty
got
amazing change.
Yeah, who just went to like the 4 terabyte drives or something like that, because they're actually using, now that we're running out of helium, we've depleted our helium stores, they now have helium-infused drives that actually spin a little bit faster, and there's some kind of technology, but it's the density just went up huge.
All right, 713-526-573. We're also running out of gravity, by the way, so you should work on conserving gravity.
I wondered why I was getting lighter.
Go to the gym.
Eating more and getting lighter.
6 terabyte energy efficient drives are going to be using helium inside.
Will he talk like this?
I mean, it's not April. It's not April 1st. I did double check it.
I think they should take disk drives and put them in the hyperloop. So then, when there's the lower oxygen with the trains, they can also have the drive spin faster because they won't have air.
So it looks like we now have a call. In fact, Groove House is hoovering up some other calls. So maybe we can go ahead and take this one while he's.
I think he's got it.
Groove House has got it under control. Groove House. He's got to get Flicked's attention because he's distracted.
I need to just reach over.
All right. Who do we have?
All right. Up next, we are going to speak with George.
George, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi there.
Hello.
I just want to share a positive experience that I've had recently with a major provider, with Comcast, and perhaps your listeners can do the same thing and drive them crazy. recently, I'm paying about $196 a month for my Comcast package and television, the three packages, the three services. And I noticed that AT&T UVerse is not available in the area. And I had really considered switching over to AT&T UVerse. I had to sacrifice a little bit of speed, but I think I can live with that. Well, I called Comcast to tell them about it. I was thinking about switching, and I got Comcast to reduce my rate. They gave me like $60 off my rate.
Yeah, if you call up Comcast and complain a little bit, they will sometimes cut you a deal.
Yes, I was very. I've heard about stuff like that being done before. I never thought they would do it. Just want to share that with you.
All right. Well, appreciate that information. Thanks for your call. Yeah, it's. I've had that experience. A lot of companies, in fact, will go into full on negotiation mode with you if you call to cancel your service. I had a similar experience with XM. I was called. I don't use XM so much anymore, and I said, I really don't need to be spending this money, and so I called them up, and of course. They wanted to give me the most incredible rate, which is very, it's actually so incredible that it's very tempting. But then you kind of go back into this, they automatically rebill you. So you have to cancel it in time. So I just said, no, I'm turning it off. But I've done that with Comcast. If you call and complain, they'll give you a couple of months of HBO sometimes or they'll reduce your rate. They got me a good rate. I renegotiated my whole internet package, my internet TV package, and got it down. I knocked about $50 a month off of my bill.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah, I was pretty happy with that. All right, 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT if you want to be on the air with us.
Oh, man. I got an email.
You got an email?
Yeah, someone wants to credit my bank account.
Really? Got some funds coming in. You can buy a car.
I think so. I'm going to just, like, give them everything.
Yeah, give them all the information that you don't, and try to give them information they didn't ask for, okay, just in case.
Right, just in case.
Because you don't want to delay.
No, you want that money right away.
You want the money pretty quick.
Yeah. And be ready to send the fees over, you know, for fees.
I'm ready.
I'm glad you're on that.
Yes.
Once you buy your car, you might need some Lonely Housewives to fill it. I can afford it with some of my emails.
Oh, yeah. You got the Russian
and
emails?
Maybe some Cialis, you know, to help those Lonely Housewives.
Actually, on the spam front, the thing that I don't know if you have noticed, and I've wondered about this, have you noticed a lot of spam for legitimate businesses?
Yes.
It's been
getting
coming, like Ford and, you know, car brands and some of that. And you wonder, are they just kind of whitewashing it where there's a middleman who's sending out this spam and they know that ultimately promotes them, or if they're unaware? It'd be interesting to see a reporter kind of dig into that and find out if they really have any connection or know that this is going on.
Well, I read a blog. There's a legal blog that I enjoy, a freedom of speech, First Amendment legal blog I like to read called Popehat, P-O-P-E-H-A-T .com. And Ken White, who's an attorney in California, is one of the maintainers of this blog. He's my favorite writer on the blog. But he likes to put blog posts up when he gets contacted by people that, you know, he gets a lot of spam along the lines of, hey, I want to contribute to your legal blog. I've read your legal blog. And he'll go so far as to find out which law firms have hired these SEOs. And he'll contact the law firm and say, you know, you've hired this SEO who's bad news and is really, because, you know, he's starting to get emails from people from legal outlets that have been spammed by, because he's written about them and their spam practices. And of course, his blog comes up first in Google searches when you look for them. So bad SEO is bad SEO. And he calls it out. And when one of his favorite things to do that I get a kick out of is he'll write him back and say, well, you know, we have a dearth of postings about ponies on our website. Can you provide content that talks about the benefits of owning a pony? And some of the responses he gets are quite hilarious. Anyway, go check out popehat.com. I've been more interested in legal stuff lately, and that's been a fascinating read. All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
After I give out this phone number one more time, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. If you want to be on the air with us, we have open lines. Please call in. We have two calls in the queue, and the first one up for the being on the air of is
Randy.
Randy, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I bought a computer that had WinVista, and then I upgraded it to Windows 7. And since then, frequently when I'm on the Internet and I follow a URL to another page, it'll suddenly say, the Internet has stopped working, and then it'll go to, do you want to recover? And I say, yeah, let's recover, and it'll recover. And I guess it's not really a big problem because it always recovers, but it's kind of a pain in the butt to have to wait for it to go through. We are attempting to diagnose the problem and then recover the web page. Is this a common thing with Win7?
No, it's not a common thing with Win7. It's a common thing with a computer that's got bad software on it that's not acting properly. So, or it's a problem with your internet connection. But my guess is that you got a problem with your web browser. Now, you said you had a computer that you upgraded to Windows 7?
Yeah, it was Vista, and I upgraded to 7.
Now, Windows 7 upgrade path from Vista, is that, did it, was it, can you upgrade to Windows 7 from Vista?
Yeah, that's
so
the next step.
You basically took Windows, your existing Windows Vista computer, and you upgraded to Windows 7, so you kept all of your original software and all of your settings and so forth. Is that correct?
I'm trying to remember.
Or when you fired up after installing Windows 7, did you have brand new everything?
Yes.
You did?
As far as I know.
I mean, you didn't have, did you or did you not have all your old programs, and did you have to reinstall them?
Gosh, I'm trying to remember.
How long ago was this? Yesterday?
No, it was like a few months ago.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. I can't answer this question for you, but a lot of people, what, you know, when they upgrade, what they choose to do is they choose to upgrade and kind of pull all of their old stuff along with them. So really, it's only the operating system that's been upgraded, but they still have all of their original applications like Microsoft Office or whatever other programs they might have installed. If you do that, sometimes you bring problems with you. If you had a pre-existing problem on the computer that wasn't really too bad of a problem, but you upgrade the operating system, it may cause that problem to kind of jump out and be even worse. With Internet Explorer failing to respond and going into that state, it could be that you had existing issues with Internet Explorer before, and they're just worse now in Windows 7. One thing you can try to do with Internet Explorer, when it starts to behave like this, I find that resetting it back to factory fresh or factory defaults will sometimes clear those issues up.
And you're talking about the browser itself, not
yeah,
the whole...
Yeah, I'm sorry, the Internet Explorer. With Internet Explorer, if you go to Tools, Internet Options, there's an advanced setting that'll reset it, or you can Google search for Reset Internet Explorer Default Settings, and sometimes that'll clear it up. But if you're having browser issues, it could also be a sign that you have spyware, and I hate the fact that I've already had to use that word more than once this year, but you might have spyware on your computer. So do you use any tools to scan for that kind of infection?
Well, yes, I do.
What do you use?
Let's see, AdAware.
Okay.
The new whatever came with Windows seems to be pretty good.
Yeah, the Windows...
Windows Defender.
Defender.
Yeah, Defender.
And, okay, when you scan for spyware, do you find that you tend to have spyware on a regular basis?
No, it's almost never.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know. I would go the route of resetting Internet Explorer and see if that helps you out. And another option for you might be to consider a different web browser altogether, like Google Chrome or Mozilla Firefox.
In fact, if you install one of those, it won't. If you don't allow it to become the default browser, it won't impact Internet Explorer. But if you install it and you try it and you're able to get to any page you want, then you know that the problem is in your browser and not in the operating system itself.
Okay, so let's see. To reset to default settings...
You're going to have to... I don't have a copy of Internet Explorer running in front of me, but it's under the tools and then Internet options, and there's a setting. But can you get online enough to do a Google search?
Yes.
Do a Google search on Reset Internet Explorer Default Settings, and you'll find a Microsoft page that tells you all the steps you need to do that. And what it basically does is it takes Internet Explorer, resets all the security settings, clears the cache, and kind of puts Internet Explorer... It doesn't get rid of your favorites or anything, so you'll still have all your bookmarks, but it just kind of resets Internet Explorer, and I found that to be a very good fix for when Internet Explorer is misbehaving.
Okay.
If you can remember whether or not you did an upgrade or a clean install of Windows 7, I might suggest to you that if you're having issues with Windows 7 beyond the Internet Explorer issue, you did an upgrade rather than a clean install, you might consider backing up your important files and doing a clean install.
Well, I believe it was a clean install because I bought the disk. I went to the store and bought the disk.
Right, but the disk offers two or three different options. One is where it formats your hard drive and installs the operating system, and you have to go back and install your drivers for your hardware, and you have to reinstall all of your applications. Okay, for example, let's take an example. You say you use AdAware, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you were using AdAware when you were using Windows Vista, correct?
Yes.
When you upgraded to Windows 7, did you have to reinstall AdAware?
Yes.
Okay, so you did a clean install, so that's probably good. That's what okay. I'm. So a clean install, like I was trying to get across earlier, was that if you a clean install wipes out everything, all of your programs, all your data files, everything, and reinstalls the operating system fresh.
Okay.
But so if you did that, that means you probably don't have problems that you inherited from your Vista installation as to why Internet Explorer is behaving. Now, Internet Explorer could be behaving badly, too, because you've installed other software on the computer. And that gets harder to troubleshoot. But try the reset and see if that gets you where you want to be, and hopefully that'll clear things up for you. All right, 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with us tonight, we've got open lines, one call in the queue, half an hour or so left to go in the program. So we're doing great. 713-526-KPFT. This next call looks like it could be interesting. Groovehouse, push the button and talk.
Yes.
Who is it and what do they want?
Up next, we're going to speak with Paul, and we'll allow him to let you know what he wants to speak about.
All right.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm driving. Well, I'm out west of Houston now. Anyway, I listen to your show when I come through on Wednesday night. I've got a Cradle Point router hooked with a Sprint mobile broadband card. I've got one computer with Windows 7 and Bodhi Linux on it, or Bodhi Linux, and another computer with Crunch Bang and Manjaro on it. Now, are all the if I want to network all these computers together, is it all done through the router, or is there software also that needs to be on all the computers?
Well, you're talking about some fairly interesting setups here. It's all going to be done through the router via how you configure the computers. I'll let Barrett talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just, is everything a desktop kind of configuration, or are you running any of those as servers? Like, do you install
it's
a server?
It's strictly desktop, yeah.
Okay. No, it's pretty easy. This is assuming that the Cradle, but you've got to have something that's going to hand out IP addresses, and I'm assuming maybe that the Cradle Point router will do that.
So it's
super, super easy. Plug everything into that. If you need to get a hub to plug the other computers into, do that. Boot up the Cradle Point, then boot up all the other computers, and as long as they're all set to DHCP, which they should be, to get their IP addresses dynamically, they just all pop up, and then you can run whatever services you want on the network. It's extremely,
okay.
It's actually kind of anticlimactic. It used to be really, really tough to, like, build a, you know, a Linux network, but now it's like plug in some wire, turn the machines on, and you've got probably IPv4 and IPv6.
Right. So I guess I really, you know, honestly should be reading more about this, but I drive a truck and I just don't spend as much time at home as I possibly can. So it all should probably, for connecting everything, should all be in the help and stuff in the router manual or the router help files, right?
Yeah, it really, like I said, it's not that tough. Do you know how many Ethernet ports there are on that router? Is there just one, or are there like four or five?
No, I think it's four, and I've got both desktops hardwired.
Okay, now just plug everything into that. And like I said, just by virtue of them being plugged in and getting the IP address from that single router, all the machines will be able to see each other because they'll all be on the same subnet, they'll all be on the same network, and you're good to go.
Okay, cool. What is Samba a necessary thing to have?
It depends. Like, by virtue of you getting all these Linux machines on there, it's like, okay, what can you do? You can ping, you can secure shell back and forth. So if you actually want to start running some network services, one of those things you can do is you can have, you know, file shares on there to where you can, you know, click and browse file shares on different computers, and Samba is a pretty good way to do it.
Okay.
And the easiest way to do that is just use a package manager to install that stuff, whether it's, you know, you're using Yum or apt-get or, you know, whatever those distributions come with. Just install Samba, the client, and the server, and then it's pretty easy to get up and going.
Okay, well, cool. Appreciate it.
Cool. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for your call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right.
So tomorrow is the Twitter IPO. Twitter goes public Twippo. Tomorrow. And they put a banner up on the New York Times, on the New York Stock Exchange building to promote it. The image is of the fail whale.
No, that's not good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's the fail whale.
That is a larger image.
Instead of the big bird logo, it's the fail whale. I wonder if that's not a joke, that someone erected that. Maybe it's Banksy at work.
I'm not seeing anything. Do you have an actual link
to
that?
Yes, I have a link to it. It's
Let
on
me see.
Twitter.
Turn your top around.
The national affairs reporter for Rolling Stone has posted it.
Well, whale has a different connotation to the the Wall Street type
and
guys.
Actually, you know what? This looks like it may be Photoshop.
No, they're not going to put up a fail whale the eve before their IPO.
I think this is a Photoshop.
Well, before you verify the story, you need to tweet it and Facebook it. Oh, my God, y'all. Please share if you agree that this is terrible.
Yeah, looks Photoshopped, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, shout the story and whisper the retraction like everything else.
We will retract at 10:01.
All right. 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you'd like to be on the air with us. We've got time left in the program to talk to you. We've got two calls in the queue and open lines. So 713-526-KPFT. If you want to be on the air, you can talk to Groovehouse. He'll take care of everything. It'll be great. All right, Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up next?
Up next, we're going to speak with Daniel.
Daniel, you're on the air.
Yes. I had a question about how to install Ubuntu on 8.1 Windows.
Install Ubuntu on 8.1 Windows?
It's like be able to dual boot?
Yes, dual boot.
What do you want to know?
How do you do that? Because I tried that, but every time I tried that, a system error comes up and it forces me to actually go to the BIOS, which is no success in installing it.
Well, if you want to do a dual boot, the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to use the Windows 8 disk manager to allocate some drive space for a guest operating system.
Okay.
And then you're going to have to boot from the Ubuntu disk and have it install on that new partition that you create. I'm thinking that in this day and age of virtualization, that might be a little bit overkill. Like, you wouldn't necessarily need to do that. You might consider using what's the free one?
Oh, VirtualBox.
VirtualBox.
From Sun.
There's a program called VirtualBox, which would let you install any operating system you wanted to as a guest on the Windows 8 system.
So you can actually run both at the same time in 8.1, right?
I'm fairly confident that you can. I haven't talked to very many people who virtualize in 8.1, but I would imagine that, yes, you could. If nothing else, you could buy a program like Parallels, which would let you run guest operating systems inside of Windows 8.1.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks for your call. If you go online and research dual boot systems, I mean, you got to be careful because you start modifying the partition of your hard drive to make it ready for a guest OS, you run into the potential danger of losing everything you have.
Yeah. Ubuntu will actually, it'll go in there and it'll do it for you. But
will Ubuntu go in if you have a system that doesn't have allocated drive space it'll shrink the existing?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty nice. Actually, I hate to admit this, but I just built a dual boot system for work just a little while ago. But the thing is, because of that, I don't go into Windows anymore. So I do like the idea of having the virtualization there. Because it's not like a 45-second switchover. You can just, if you want a Windows application, you go straight to the Windows application, you run it. Or, you know, flip it around. Go. It's probably cheaper if you've got a Windows installed to go get VirtualBox, which is free, and then go get an image that they already have pre-built for Ubuntu, which is free, then do it the other way around. So, but it is extremely fast. Like, I haven't had a fast Linux box in 5 or 6 years.
But now you do.
Now I do. I'm running Enlightenment, so it's like before I even think about stuff, stuff just kind of happens.
All right. 713-526.
Enlightenment's still around?
Yeah, they've improved it. I was really impressed. It's pretty quick. There's still some themes out there for it. I messed around with some other window managers. I tried the new GNOME. I tried KDE. I didn't like them, so I just went back to Enlightenment. I'm pretty happy again.
You're re-enlightened.
Yes.
All right. 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you'd like to be on the air with us. Groovehouse is standing by to take your call. Groovehouse, who do we have up next?
Up next, we're going to speak with Mo.
Mo, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Yes, good evening, guys. I have a question. I lost all my emails information since 2011 till present. And I have a new phone, a Galaxy phone. I never check my email on my phone. I did it one time, and for some reason, I lost all my information. How do I get that back, or what do I do?
Wow. So who do you get your email from?
Just my regular email from my contact in the past.
No, I'm asking you who provides your email service. Is it Comcast?
If I understand right, my email is with Yahoo.
Yahoo, okay. So when you access your Yahoo email, do you use a program on your computer like Outlook or something to access it, or do you go to yahoo.com and log in that way?
I go to yahoo.com and log in.
All right, so you go to Yahoo. And so now if you go to yahoo.com and look for your mail, it's not there?
Everything since 2011.
Everything since 2011 is gone.
Right, it's gone, yes.
Like 2012 email is gone, 2013 email is gone.
Everything is gone.
But you have mail older than 2011 in there?
Yes, I have 2010 or 2011.
And you lost all of this mail after configuring your phone to connect to your Yahoo email?
Yes.
Wow.
Because I never used to have that problem. I just have a new phone. And I actually checked my mail for like a week, and then all of a sudden, I didn't see nothing.
Is this AT&T Yahoo, or is it Yahoo standalone?
I can't tell the
difference. Do you subscribe to AT&T broadband?
No.
Okay, so you just have a free Yahoo account.
Yeah, standalone Yahoo.
So the thing, what happens with checking your email with a client? For example, if you checked your Yahoo email and you used Outlook to connect to it, there's an option in Outlook that tells it to download a copy of your messages and either delete it from the server or leave it on the server. So I could see losing email if you had configured a program like Outlook or something like that to synchronize with your Yahoo. But typically when you configure a phone, is it an Android phone or a
Android?
Android. So when you went into the Android phone mail setup, you had a selection for Yahoo. You clicked on that. You put in your Yahoo email account information, yeah, and boom, you got email on your phone.
Yes.
Typically, the Android phone does not delete from the server when it pulls it down. I don't even know if there's an option to tell it to do that.
Almost everything's IMAP these days.
Right.
POP3 was the one where you would have that option.
So the only way I could see losing your email because of the phone would be if the... Oh, goal!
Oh,
okay, so the only way I could see losing your email as a result of the phone is if you deleted it off the phone. So did you do anything like that where you deleted the messages off?
No.
No?
No.
And you've double-checked the Yahoo account to make sure there's no, like, weird archive 2012, archive 2011, where it's auto-archive stuff into a folder that you might not be seeing.
I never contact them.
No, but when you log into your webmail, when you log into yahoo.com and look at your mail account, I mean, it's possible that you're missing a folder or something that maybe it's hard to say without sitting in front of it.
Maybe you dragged and dropped a whole bunch of messages into a different folder, or you moved them around somehow because that's a lot easier to do than deleting 2 years' worth of email.
Okay, because I'm not really a computer guy. I'm just kind of...
Right. I understand what you're telling us, but I'm not sure how it happened because typically when you configure a phone to check email, I've heard of that happening with... early versions of ActiveSync or something where it would try to reconcile and delete the messages. But what I would recommend you do is, do you have access to another computer?
Yes.
Have you tried checking your email from that computer to see if it may be showing up there?
I've done it. This happened like a month ago.
Okay, so
I'm
asking.
It from different computers and
okay, so you have checked it from different computers and it's missing on all of them.
Yes.
Are the messages on your phone?
No.
They're gone from the phone as well?
Yes. The reason I'm bringing my phone in, because the only time I have this problem is maybe, I'm assuming, is because I check it through my phone. Maybe somebody hijacked my email. I don't know.
I don't know. You're going to probably have to consult with somebody to take a look, but it's possible that the messages are gone. And the unfortunate thing is that you're using the free Yahoo service, and they are not compelled in any way to provide you with a remedy. If the mail is gone, they're not going to restore it for you. If it's been deleted from their servers and it's gone, then it's gone forever. Which is unfortunate, but that is one of the drawbacks to free email services. If anything happens to it, they're not under any obligation to remedy that or make that right. So it may be that you've lost that. It may have been through a defect in the phone or the way that the phone interacted with your mail account. Have you done a Google search on missing email, Android phone?
Yahoo? Yeah, I'm not finding anyone with that issue. Almost everyone is configuring. All the configuration stuff I see is IMAP 4, which just means that it's not going to download it and delete it, like Jay was mentioning. Yeah. I think it's much more. I've seen people do this at work where you can accidentally drag something and drop it somewhere else. I think they may still be there. You know, that's kind of hope against hope, but I would poke around a little bit before you give up completely.
Or have somebody who's a little bit more computer savvy sit down with your account and take a look around.
Do you still have the phone that downloaded all those messages? You still have the Galaxy
it
phone?
It says that the mail's missing from the phone, though.
Oh.
I would definitely find an expert to look at it and see how that goes, too.
Did you look in your trash? Is there, like, a trash thing
or,
on the phone?
Or any other folders?
I did the trash thing. There's nothing there.
Or look in, if you have any other folders, look in those folders. One of the things that I've done by accident, particularly if the interface is drag and drop, and I think the new version of Yahoo is I have accidentally dragged major folders into other folders.
That's what I think happened.
Yeah, and that so it may actually be there, but you got to...
Yeah, you might have accidentally swiped it into a new folder.
Right.
Okay, I didn't know about all these folders. No problem.
It's tough to delete that many messages. You've got to go in and... be very intentional about it for the most part. Whereas if you just accidentally, you know, go from you know, here to here with the move of your thumb, you could move that many messages without realizing it.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, thanks for your call. All right. 713, it's unfortunate. I mean, you'd be really hard-pressed to, like, multi-select all of your messages.
Just for a couple of your period, not all of them.
Right.
You know?
All right. Well, I don't have a good answer for that one, and I'm sorry. All right. 713-526-5738 as we're winding down. So I want to get an update on the Dynamo game because I saw some commotion.
Yeah, so it ended 1-1, and I thought they went to penalty kicks, but they didn't. They went into extra time, and they played two 15-minute halves of extra time. So right near the end of the first half of extra time, we scored, so it was 2-1. And then the second 15-minute half, nobody scored of extra time. So it ended 2-1, Dynamo won. So now we go on to the Eastern Conference Championship game against either Sporting KC or New England Revolution, I think, are the two they're playing. And the Revolution were up 2-1. But actually, that game's going on right now. It started at 8, so it should be halfway over by now. Well, actually more because we went into extra time.
So do you think we're going to get good play time? How much time are you going to be on the field?
Most of the time, depending on where you're playing the game.
All right. Well, I'm glad. So when's your next radio show you're going to miss then?
I don't know, typically
on Wednesdays?
I don't know when the playoff game is going to be. They probably will announce that in the next 30 minutes to an hour.
All right. Groovehouse.
Yeah.
Who's up?
Well, we had someone. And
wow, they're gone.
Dropped off.
I didn't even look up to see that we lost that call.
Yeah, I didn't either until you mentioned it.
Yeah. All right.
So we have open lines.
713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. Is the number to call if you'd like to be on the air. Wow, it's just gone quiet. I guess everybody's running around celebrating the victory of the Dynamo.
They're all looking very carefully at this picture on Twitter to try to determine if it's Photoshopped.
If it's Photoshopped?
I think it's Photoshopped.
It's got to be Photoshopped.
Yeah, I don't think they do that. I don't think the New York Stock Exchange would do that.
They're having the quietest riot in Houston history.
They had a big LinkedIn banner when LinkedIn went public.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
At the New York Stock Exchange?
Yeah. I know they did that for sure, but I think this whale, that's just a bad omen.
If it is real, I think it's Banksy. I'm betting Banksy.
Okay, so what and where is this photo? It's on the Twitters?
It's on, yeah, it's on, look, if I retweeted it
okay.
with a,
I'll,
with
I'll
a
check
Photoshop.
It.
All check, right, cool. my, check my screen.
All right. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. And we got a call coming in right now.
That's good.
That is good. All right. So we're going to wait till Groovehouse gets that screen for us and get it ready to be on the air with us.
Have we confirmed the Christmas thing? Do we know if that's going to happen?
We have not confirmed the Christmas preemption. There's a preemption on November the 20th as well. We are not going to be
So that's... That's 2 weeks from tonight, or is that? Yeah, it's 2 weeks from tonight. Ah, all righty then.
Kansas City is up 1-0.
That doesn't mean anything to us. Dynamo won. Unless they're playing, are the Dynamo playing Kansas City
they
already?
Will either, they will either play KC or, oh, okay. or Revolution. But Revolution won their previous game, I think, 2-1. But, right. but now Kansas scored, so they're even.
Okay. And that's your soccer news from Flicted. we have a call in the queue.
All right. Who's all right. up?
All right, up next, we're going to speak with Rich.
Rich, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Probably a different call out of the norm. Don't really have a question. Just want to say thank you guys for being on the air.
Okay.
Actually, I've been in IT going on 2 years now because of you guys. And I used to listen to you guys while I was on, quote, vacation. Mm-hmm. Don't know if y'all know what the quotes mean.
a 2 to 5 year leave of absence.
Yeah, something like that. And I would listen to you guys while on vacation and thought, you know what? That's what I want to do. And that's what I'm doing today. And working for a great company. I'm not going to name them, of course, but free advertisement. But thank you guys for what you do. Love the show. Love all you guys. I wish one day I could probably meet you guys.
You
probably shouldn't have told you I was on vacation, though, huh?
No, come to a geek gathering.
Come to a geek gathering.
Yeah, I hear about them all the time. I have a 6-month-old son, so.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
But, just tell your son, I'll be right back. And come to the geek gathering.
No.
He'll understand.
No, but I'm actually taking my Windows Enterprise desktop certification on Saturday, and I was driving home from actually going to a client, restarting a server, and thought about you guys and said, man, I think it would actually be different, wouldn't it?
Dude, that's really nice. I don't know which is worse, vacation or working in IT, but hopefully IT comes out on top.
Yeah, well, you know what? And the progress I've made in the year and a half, 2 years that I've been there, I'll take this any day. Even on these late night road trips going to restart servers, so I'd take it any day.
Nice.
All right.
But thank you guys again. That's all I got.
Appreciate your call. Thank you. Have a good week.
All right. Bye. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who's up?
Who's up? All right. Well, then up next, we're going to speak with Vicky.
Vicky, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, I'm trying to I have a problem with my computer. I've had it for like 5 years, and all of a sudden it's decided to ask me for a password. How do I find a password from 5 years ago? I don't remember what it is.
Where is it asking you for this password?
Right when I turn the computer on, it's saying...
enter your password to log into Windows?
No, yeah, well, just, yeah, it's not, yeah.
Do you see the Windows thing? You do see Windows?
I'm not at home right now. I'm in my car driving.
try to dig into your memory and remember it on the screen. I'm guessing it's a Windows password.
Yeah, it just says something about authorized user or
right.
something like that.
So you are, is this Windows XP?
Uh-huh.
Okay, there was an update at one point or another that caused it all of a sudden to start requiring you to log in with your password. It's possible the password is just blank.
Oh.
So the first thing I would try to do is not put anything in the password box and just try to log in.
Okay.
Just
hit enter and see if it lets you in. If that doesn't work, did you set this computer up yourself, or was it given to you or what?
Oh gosh, it's been so long ago.
You got a better memory. I mean, I forgot what I came in here for, but you should remember how you got your computer.
Well, I bought it at like a store 5 years ago and took it home, so I guess I set it up.
Typically what happens when you buy a new computer is you turn it on and it takes you through a number of prompts and it says, you know, it's going to say, hey, you know, enter a password you want to use to access your computer, or create an account name or something like that. Mm-hmm. And most people, when they do that, they come up with a thing they're going to, because it's like, I don't want to mess with this. I want to get to use my new computer. So they put in something easy.
Yeah.
They don't make a complicated numbers and letters thing. They might put in, you know, the name of their cat or something like that, or just the word password. So if you can think back to when you set up that computer, you might be able to give yourself a hint as to what that password was.
Yeah.
If you don't recall that, like, we're hoping maybe it's blank. If you don't know your password and you cannot get into the system, you are in a little bit of pain, because if you can't remember how you got your computer or what the screen looks like, being able to do what it's going to take to break into the system is going to be a little complicated, because there is a way to do it.
Uh-huh.
You have to make there's a program called NT Password. And it's NTPASSWD, NT Password. And you build this boot disk and you follow the instructions on their website. You'll have to get to a computer that you can actually download the software for. And you boot the computer up and it lets you reset the user password so you can log into the computer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it's quite involved.
Is that NT like Tom?
Yeah, NT and then password like password, but spelled PASSWD.
Okay.
If you can remember that you are talking to Technology Bytes, you can go to our website at geekradio.com, and then we have a contact form there, and you can email me from a computer you can log into, and I'll send you a link to that program and try to give you some help on that.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
All right.
I have an iPhone now, and everything I do is on the iPhone, and I just hardly ever use it. And before this happened, it was getting slower and slower and slower, so I'm quite sure something else was wrong. And one time when I closed, it said somebody else was using the computer at the same time.
There's a thing where in XP that I used to see that. It's like, are you sure you want to log off? Somebody else is connected. It's not really true. It's just, I don't know why it gives that message. But it's possible that you have spyware or hacked, or maybe somebody did lock you out of your computer. If you're not using that computer so much anymore, another option you have would be to buy a new computer and then just take the hard drive out of that computer and connect it to the new computer and copy your files.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. That'd be great.
Yeah, and then you'd have a brand new computer that ran fast and that you knew the password for. So that would be awesome.
That would be wonderful. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for your call. Good luck.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So we're not going to give out the phone number anymore.
Does Flicted have the score on the Virginia Viagra versus the St. Louis Cialis game?
I don't follow
for the playoffs.
I think that's pay-per-view.
For sure.
White knows.
I don't know. I heard there was something about Red Bull and Viagra.
All right, Groove House.
Mm-hmm.
Who's up?
All right, up next, we are going to speak with Jim.
Jim, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
I've got a Toshiba laptop, Satellite 600 series, and it's running Windows 7. The problem I'm having is it never recognizes a CD. It always asks me if, I'm wanting to burn something or something like that, but it just doesn't really recognize the drive.
Okay. So how old is the laptop?
About 3 years old.
Do you live in a particularly dusty environment?
Yes.
You know, you might want to consider getting a CD cleaner to clean the optical drive because it may be having problems with dust or something. And if you got one of the, you know about CD cleaners?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems like I had this problem before, and somewhere I found it on one of the settings. And what will happen is what I can do is put the CD in and then reboot the computer, and it will recognize it.
Well, like I said, you take the CD out and put it in the drive, and it doesn't read it. Then you open the drive, and you close it again, and it does read it. Is that what you're saying?
No, I have to reboot my computer.
Reboot the computer. Okay, so it's possible that there's a driver issue or some kind of software issue, you know, that is interfering with your access to the drive. That's a little bit more difficult to troubleshoot. I don't know exactly what to tell you on that, except that sometimes software goes bad and maybe it's time to reload your computer, because just getting the CD re-identified or get drivers installed for that clean might be a little tough. You say you had this problem on this computer before.
Yes.
And you found a setting, but you don't remember what it is.
Right.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know of a setting in Windows 7 or any other operating system that says, you know, make my CD work.
Yeah, ignore the CD. So when you, okay, you boot the computer, you put in a data CD, it says, hey, do you want to burn the CD? If you close that down and if you go to your computer, can you see what actually shows up under the drive at that point? Just, it still says a blank CD, or can you actually see the contents of the CD?
Well, it'll show like the drive is full or, you know, otherwise inaccessible. But it just says there's nothing there.
You can't get to the contents of the CDR.
Correct.
Is it possible you got some bad discs? Have you had these discs laying around for a while?
Well, no. I've tried that out.
Yeah.
That's not the issue.
That almost sounds hardware to me. It's weird it's something in a handoff from the BIOS. I don't know.
I mean, but if you reboot it, does it start working?
Yeah.
Every time?
Yeah, it does.
All right. So it's possible it's a software issue. Unfortunately, there's not an easy fix that I can think of off the top of my head to fix it.
Could try removing it, from the device manager and adding it back in.
You could do that. You could go to the device manager and remove and uninstall the CD, reboot it, and see if it redetects the drive, and it'll maybe refresh the drivers.
Okay. Well, I go to the device manager and remove the device and reinstall.
Yeah, if you go to device manager in Windows, you'll see a list of all your hardware devices, and one of them will be your CD drive, your optical drive, and you can right-click it and delete or remove or something like that. And then when you reboot the computer should redetect that hardware's there and that there's no driver installed, and then reinstall the driver for it.
I think that's a good idea.
All right, we'll try that, because that's all the time we've got left to troubleshoot for you. So,
hey, love your show. Thanks.
All right, appreciate your call. Thanks. Bye. All right. Awesome. Good show. Very happy. All right. Snap phone is using my photo. Bastards. Oh, well. I'm going to have to send a complaint to them. I guess in this case, there'd be something to do. I like an old man writing letters to the editor. In your edition of the newspaper on September 24th, in the social section there, I did not like that picture of the young man. He looked very threatening. All right. You've been listening to Technology Bites. We got to go. We'll see you next week. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Garrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Drew House.
He looked kind of scary to me.
KPFT has just concluded its last fun drive of 2013. If you made a pledge this time, thank you very much. Your donation keeps this station on the air. If you promise to send a check, your envelope will arrive in the mail soon. Please make sure to honor your commitment and send that back to KPFT. Most pledge drive gifts should be arriving in the coming weeks. If you have questions, call our membership department, 713-526-4000. And finally, if you've missed a chance to donate, visit kpft.org and drop us something in our tip jar. Thank you again from all the staff at KPFT Houston.
Get rid of your old gas guzzler. KPFT will take your car, running or not, and turn it into a different kind of green. Money for the radio station. It's easy. Call our toll-free number at 1-855-573-8227 and let us haul away your vehicle and give you a tax receipt for your donation. Call now or go to kpft.org and click on More Ways to Give. We are listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio. KPFT Houston.